السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين، بارك الله فيكم. سبحان الله، an amazing hadith from Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Imam Nawawi رحمه الله brings this hadith, hadith number 796, Abu Jurayz hadith, Abu Jurayy Jabir ibn Sulaym رضي الله عنه. He says, I saw a great man, رجلا يعني عظيما, and everyone was listening to him. Everything he said was implemented. I asked, who is this? They said, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I greeted him. So he said to me, don't greet in that manner. That's how we greet the deceased. Greet assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. I asked him, you are Rasulullah? As a question. He said, I am the Rasul of Allah. Who is this Allah? Allah is that being. إِذَا أَصَابَكَ ضُرْ فَدَعُوتَهُ كَشَفَهُ عَنْكَ. When any difficulty afflicts you and you pray to him, he will alleviate that difficulty from your path. And when you are afflicted in your crop with drought, lack of produce, and you turn to him, he will cause it to grow. If you are lost in the desert or a vast land in the wilderness and your conveyance gives you trouble and gets lost, and you turn to him and you pray to him, he would return your conveyance to you and would restore it for you. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i'ahad ilay, give me pertinent advice. He said, never ever use vulgarity. La tasubbanna ahadan, swear none, nobody whatsoever. Don't swear any of Allah's creation. Hazrat Jabir bin Sulaym radiallahu anhu says, I never swore anyone after that, irrespective of whether the individual was free, a slave, an animal, a sheep, no matter what it was. I never got upset or in being irritable just to curse or swear at something. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never undermine any good deed, even that you speak to your brother, meaning Muslim brother, humanitarian brother, whilst you are smiling for Allah, to show politeness, approachability, character. Indeed, that is from the righteous deeds. And also raise your lower garment. Raise your garment to half the shin. And if you're not prepared to keep it half the shin, in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained half the shin by holding on to his muscle, on his shin, the muscle under the knee, that muscle, he held on to that muscle and said, this is where it should be, your garment, your pants, your lungi, your kurta. And if you are not prepared to do so, then it should be above the ankle at least. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ فَإِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. And then Allah's beloved said, be careful never to lower your garment beneath the ankle, because that mere action is of pride. فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ Makhila, it is a deed of pride. And Allah loves not the haughty and the proud. Subhanallah. What's interesting is this word makhila has the word khayal in it, imagination, where a person imagines himself to be very great. And this word also comes from the word khayl, which means the best conveyance in the past was the horse. So khayl. That's why when we ride on a conveyance, what do we read? Subhanallah. This is in Surah زُخْرِفْ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. Subhanallah. Allah says, لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِ, that you embark onto this conveyance that Allah made available to you, then you should remember Allah, glorify Him, take His name. Then Quran teaches us the du'as that should be rendered. Subhanallah, how every aspect of our deen is so fully encompassed, alhamdulillah. Even a person leaves the home. Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu anha says, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave his home and make dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bik. An adilla au udal, au azilla au uzal, au adlima au udlam, au ajhala au yujhala alayya. Oh Allah, save me from slipping. Save me from being tripped by others. Save me from going astray. Save me from being misled and influenced negatively by others. Oh, Adlim, O Allah, save me. And also it can mean, save me from being influenced negatively by anything. Because today the gadgets that are available are influencing one's iman negatively, Ya Allah. There's so many confusing things there. There are those who swear the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they, Ya Allah, proclaim that they're the only defenders of Gaza and Palestine. Yes, what is happening is all with the permission of Allah. But never forget history. Never forget that those that swore the Sahaba and disbelieved in Sahaba always caused the greatest of harm to the Muslim Ummah. Whenever there was a setback and there was the most brutal torture and a stab in the back, it was always those who swore Sahaba that violated this perpetration. Be careful of being misled. Yes, whatever those who have such agendas do, they're always doing it with an ulterior motive. And yes, we can thank Allah, because who else is helping our brothers? Who else? Even those leaders of Muslim countries are put there by the West themselves after the fall of the Khilafah. So they are loyal to their bosses. So they are not the representatives of Ahlus Sunnah. And the forces of Batil are using this, what we see in front of us, that it's as though they are the only ones retaliating. It's all from Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah will help his deen sometimes with a fajr. But we have to be careful. From those who swear Sahaba, where is their belief in the Quran? When the Quran praises Sahaba radiallahu anhum abundantly, it was Sahaba who preserved the Quran. It is Sahaba who preserved the Hadith. It is Sahaba who preserved the deen. It is through the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that deen reached us. And between Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt is the closest of relationship. And the first of Ahlul Bayt is none other than the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhun. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us the understanding to value our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from going astray. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this dua, that oh Allah save us from going astray or being misled. Because there's so many fitnas out there, our youth, our children. And we're seeing the reality of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right before our very eyes, where the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where a person would awaken in the morning with iman, but they would go to sleep in the evening and there's no more iman. A person would have iman in the evening, but by the time the morning comes, there's so much of influences around us, one's iman would be usurped. That's why our pious, righteous people say, agar hum da'i nahi honge, to mad'u banenge. If we're not going to invite to Allah and to truth and to deen, we would definitely then be influenced by the negative invitation of the forces of batil. That's why the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum would always meet each other in a kind manner. And when they would separate, they would remind each other of this important, pertinent duty of service to humanity through reciting to one another Suratul Asr, reminding each other that time is running out. Whatever we want to do for Allah, hasten towards carrying it out, because time is running out. It could be that tomorrow will come and there's no opportunity to do so. And everyone is at loss except those who preserve their iman and back their iman by doing abundance of good deeds. And not that's not all. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they collectively call each other to truth and iman and good deeds, haqq. And they collectively help each other in difficulty and adversity. So this dua when leaving the home, and Allah teaches in the Quran, when getting into the conveyance, recite Subhanalladhi. Ya Allah, perfect is that being who made this conveyance available to us. You and I might be driving something nice and brand new, thinking nothing can go wrong. This thing has such a navigational system, it even drives itself. Allahu Akbar. Nothing can give us safety but Allah. See what Allah's beloved says to the Sahabi. When difficulty afflicts you, only Allah will alleviate it. When you're lost, only Allah will help you find your way. When your conveyance is giving you trouble, Allah alone can restore it and repair it for you. In this dua, and also in that dua, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ Indeed, to our Lord alone is our return. In this hadith, Allah's beloved said to Hazrat Jabir bin Sulaym, Abu Jurayyin radiallahu anhu, and if anyone is vulgar with you, or undermines you, or belittles you, concerning something that you do have weaknesses regarding, you don't try now to mock him or find his faults. If he corrected you, analyze what he's saying, and it could be true, and try and improve yourself. How amazing in this hadith. Because now when you're looking for his faults now, because he was looking or giving you some correction, it means we don't want to reform ourselves. We're just looking for his faults. If someone corrects us, let's analyze if what he's saying is true. Subhanallah, as the pious would say to those who would mock them, if what you're saying is true, may Allah forgive me. If what you're saying is not, may Allah forgive you. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين